Welcome back to WNST, Towson from Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively and sadly into the offseason. The Baltimore Ravens will not play football again until September the 10th, unless they kick off on the 7th against the world champion Cincinnati Bengals or something, although I am very, very dubious about their offensive line at this point. This guy will be here on Thursday, driving you home from 3 until 5. He is always here on Sunday. He'll be getting you ready for divisional super divisional weekend, I guess, this weekend. And, of course, championship games. Dennis Colossus joins us now from Coons Ford of Security Boulevard. If you are on the Greg Roman watch and he's not already gone, make sure you're on the WNST tech service brought to you by Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Luke will be monitoring that as they clean out lockers in Owings Mills. Dennis, I have a feeling we'll go extended time here today. And I have a feeling by the time we get together on Thursday afternoon, things will be changing. It is a wild, wild week of change ahead. We have the whole offseason, but let's start at the beginning. And Luke hated when I said this. They almost won. Almost.
If the nuts were good, candy and butts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? Or something like that. Danny Don Meredith said that a long time ago, Nestor. And for all the people, it's a look. The Ravens were the better team. The Ravens outplayed the Bengals. I don't buy that. The scoreboard doesn't say that, right? The scoreboard says that the Cincinnati Bengals were the better team, and that's how we play the game around here at Coons Ford Baltimore. You are what the scoreboard says you are, and we don't blame, complain, or explain. And I saw a lot of that post-game, Ness, which was really disappointing for me, whether it was John Harbaugh calling out his quarterback. I thought that was unnecessary to say that Snoop Huntley should have burrowed versus trying to go over the top on that goal line. J.K. Dobbins calling out the coaching staff, et cetera. I don't like those kind of things, but you know, a lot of frustration because this was a very winnable game by the Baltimore Ravens.
The game itself and the way it played out, and, you know, I know you were very active on social media as well. We all had a lot of time Saturday and Sunday, right? We watched four full football games before this one started and then the Monday night game, right? I would just say for me, I picked heavily against them early in the weekend. I thought they would lose 37-16. That was my score. The reason I thought that they would turn the ball over once or twice, and I thought Burrow would throw the ball over their head once or twice, right? I thought Chase would get involved. You know, one of those guys would make a big play or two that would cost them 14 points. I thought the Ravens would struggle in the red zone, and they did. I thought they would kick some field goals. Three field goals and a touchdown is the way I saw it. But the fact that the game stayed close and the fact that the Dolphins kept it close with the third-string quarterback, the fact that the Giants, who nobody thought could win on the road, the fact that these games were closer than you think, usually these wild-card games, this is when you get these 65-7 sort of blowout weird games. Harbaugh never loses big. And as much as I can beat him up for his integrity, the many times he's lied to me, the many times he's lied to the public, there is a part for me with him. He's a hell of a football coach, and I would tell him that. I've told him that 100 times. And in this kind of a game, the fact that they had a chance to win, I don't think anybody should be shocked about that in retrospect. In retrospect, I'm a little embarrassed that I thought second-string quarterback, blah, 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 you know, Burrow. I'll tell you what, that offensive line for the Bengals has been decimated. They can't win the Super Bowl to me. It's a shame for them because I'm watching them, and I'm like, they're not going to win three more games in that offensive line. I don't think so.
They're not, but back to Coach Harbaugh, I think it's at some point you have to listen to your players. J.K. Dobbins didn't take a week off. He didn't rest so he could not get carries in the red zone in a playoff game. If it were me inside the five-yard line, I would have given J.K. Dobbins four touches if necessary. You know what? If the Bengals defense can stop him, tip your hat off and say, you know what, we gave you our best shot. And you took it and you stopped us. But I have a suspicion that had the Ravens given J.K. Dobbins the ball four times in the red zone, they would have scored a touchdown instead of leaving it to the quarterback with the ill-advised jump over the top. So at some point, you have to listen to your players. When somebody says, give me the damn ball, you've got to give them the damn ball, Dester.
Well, I would say for the outcome and the way it turned out in the end, that we will be playing that one playback, right? Because they were capable of winning. The Bengals did things that made them capable of winning. Right. And the way the game played out from a possession standpoint, these long possessions, shorten the clock, less possessions in the game, every single thing. It was a smart game in that way, right? I mean, they had a smart game plan, other than Stu Puntley throwing the interception. And what, like, I expected that. He's a backup quarterback. I didn't expect him to play mistake-free football. And quite frankly, I think the defense tied the Bengals up better than I thought they would in the end. It's a very unfortunate outcome. That being said, they weren't winning the Super Bowl. And the
No,
notion that Lamar wasn't at the game Sunday, they're going to say, we were trying to get the swelling down on these so you could play in Kansas City.
there's a couple things there. Number one, that fumble at the goal line, that was a 14-point swing, Nestor. We can't overlook that, right? Not only did the Ravens didn't score seven, didn't score 3 points, worst case scenario, but the Bengals took it 98 yards the other direction. It was a 14-point swing. It was a devastating game-changing, game-altering play. The other piece is I was really disappointed with Ravens Nation. This was a playoff game. Twitter should have been all about the players that were there. The Lamar Jackson conversation during the playoff game was very much unnecessary. I gave it zero energy. I put out zero tweets about Lamar Jackson. They have plenty of time to talk about that in the offseason, but the players deserved our focus 100% during the game because they were out there giving it their all, Ness.
Dennis, off season has begun.
Now it has. Now we can talk about Lamar Jackson. I just thought it was fruitless to talk about Lamar Jackson, his contract, his knee, the swelling, the airplane air pressure. Does he travel with the team? Does he not? To me, it was just noise. I just wanted to focus on the game itself. But now you said the offseason is here. I believe that the Ravens fired Wink Martindale January 21st, a year ago. So now it's the Greg Roman watch, right?
Wink's still coaching this week. I don't know if you noticed that or not. He's putting a, he's not golfing up in New Jersey this weekend. He's
Well, you know what?
installing a game plan.
Wink needed a change. The Ravens needed a change. And guess what? On the offensive side of the ball right now, we can all agree that a change is needed. A change is necessary for sure.
Do the Ravens need a change with Lamar Jackson? I mean that. So I've talked at length this week already with Luke early in the morning on Monday. We started at this early. Does Steve Bisciotti like what he's seeing? Does he like the empty seats? Does he like Sashi Brown? Does he like Eric DaCosta? Does he like the draft picks? Does he like the offense? Does he like John Harbaugh's demeanor? Does he like the way Lamar's been handled from the inside? What's his culpability in that? Are they going to have kumbaya with the quarterback? Because it certainly
Yeah,
feels
sure.
very, very estranged, Dennis. None of this has felt normal. And you and I've talked about this since last summer. It wasn't normal that he didn't show up for OTAs. It's not normal that the head coach was texting me when he didn't show up for OTAs to tell me that he liked my tweets.
Okay,
I think Lamar's out of favor with John.
let's follow the breadcrumbs here at Ness. A few weeks ago, Mike Preston says Lamar Jackson is not going to the facility for treatment. He's missing sessions. Then he retracts and says, no, he is at the facility getting treatment. Sammy Watkins calls him out, right? So did Sammy Watkins call him out on his own, or did his teammates put him up to it? Are Lamar Jackson's very own teammates tired of this whole contract situation? The Ravens now, they put out before the game that they'll be negotiating with Lamar Jackson in the offseason to extend him. Why would they say anything else, Nestor? They have to build his value back up again. They have to hope teams overlook the fact he hasn't played football in December for 2 years in a row now. They will tag him, and Eric DaCosta will be open for business. You can believe that.
Well, if Eric DaCosta is open for business, it's Lamar being open for business. So
Sure.
does Lamar then take meetings with Joe Douglas and with the Miami? Like, I mean, who? This is the sloppiness
Okay.
and what the internet doesn't understand. And you and I spent last week talking at length about the lack of representation for Lamar and what that means when he doesn't get a second opinion on his knee, when the team has Chad Steele saying to the NFL Network, and the coach is saying to the NFL Network, he'll be here next week. He'll be ready to play. That they put the timeline on him. No agent worth it. Lee Steinberg never would have allowed that to happen. Lee
No.
Steinberg would have had his own press release and said, we're not putting 1 to 3 weeks on this because this injury is more serious than the team is leading on. The team's being dishonest with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, but I do think that a tag, a trade is going to be in order. That's my feeling. Looks like both parties are ready to move on from each other. And the Ravens have a great roster. They have a lot of great young pieces, and they're not that far away. But you can't overlook the fact they haven't won a playoff in a long, long time. The question is, how much fire does John Harbaugh left in the tank? He's 60 years old. He's been coaching this team since 08. Our very own Brian Billick said after about 10 years of coaching, things start to get a bit familiar, a bit stale. So we saw the tenseness in his voice during that interview, that ill-advised interview, which I still think it's wrong for reporters to stick a mic in the coach's face in the middle of a game.
I
I mean,
hate
what?
everything about it, but
Yeah,
then don't
I know.
agree to do it, or if you agree to do
I
it,
know.
just
I know. But it's.
have something that makes yourself, for yourself, your family, your franchise, your owner, your
I
fan
don't.
base, that you don't look like a jerk
Yeah,
being a
but
jerk to
emotions.
Melissa Stark. I mean,
I'm
it's.
going to defend him a little bit here because emotions are running high. I mean, you got Marcus Peters there getting a 15-yard penalty against him, ill-advised, of course, when he punched Joe Mixon. What do you expect the coach to say except get out of my face? I mean, I got to defend him there. But my question about him is, I do think that a lot of times he becomes a spectator versus an active participant. I think he gives his coordinators way too much leeway in terms of what they're going to call next. And I do think he has to be more of an influencer if he's going to continue as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens and more involved during clock management, play calling, etc.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You just said something interesting. You just used the word, used a two-letter word, IF, if. If he is going to remain.
If.
Hey, I brought this up. If there is a time to make a change and
Yeah.
everybody's underwear's stale, right? John looks beleaguered,
He
right? He
does. He
looks
does.
beleaguered. He sounds beleaguered. All of this. He looks exasperated. Like
He
Jack Gibbons with
does.
me when I messed the lottery numbers up back in the 80s when I worked at the paper.
What?
Exasperated was the word he used with me when I was 18 years old. And I've had a lifetime of being exasperated with employees and with frustrations and with all of that. But for John, if Steve sees that and says, well, okay, we're going to get rid of the quarterback. My team's worth $5 billion. I'm fine, right? I just got $600 million from the state. I'm fine. I've got a young general manager. I've got a team that play good D. I have all the parts. I have all the organization. But I've got a head coach that's been here 15 years that feels beleaguered. Is John committed to taking the next 19 or 20-year-old kid and finding that quarterback in this draft or the next draft? Is John going to be here the next time we build it back? If we're going to jettison Lamar, and this would be for Brian as well. Billick, you mentioned Brian.
Sure.
Brian would has said to me a million times, one of the parts of him getting fired was they didn't have a quarterback, and
Didn't
you
have
want
a
to marry the
quarterback.
quarterback to the coach, right?
Of
So
course.
I'm questioning for the first time as to whether John may go into Steve and say,
Right.
I need something new. You need something new. We need something new. I'm not bringing Matt Ryan in to be my quarterback next year, going to get Derek Carr, or like I don't want to live through 7-10 next year. And it's been good. I don't know. But if it's going to happen in some weird wildcat, I mean, the Rams coach almost walked away 4 days ago, right? This is
And
a
here's a
tough
guy.
job,
Yeah,
right?
he won a Super Bowl 1 year ago. It's a pressure cooker. And as long as John is having fun, as long as John is committed, because you can see John maybe taking the year off and becoming a college coach, right? I think he'd be great for the college game. He might enjoy working with the kids better than he does the pros, right? Because, let's face it, the NFL is a big-time business. Not that the college game isn't, but it's not to the level that the NFL is. So as long as John is committed to growing and he's enthusiastic and he loves being the Ravens head coach, I mean, he's my guy. But just like with everybody else, myself, yourself included, you got to always look for ways to get better. You never take your foot off the gas. People think that when you become senior, it gives you the ability to back off. No, it's the exact opposite. You got to work harder than ever to keep your edge.
Well, I don't, and I'm in no hurry to get rid of John one way or
Neither am
another
I.
because I think he's
Neither
a
am I.
head coach. But I do sense for the first time that they're about to go through if they're going to jettison the quarterback, and you and I are of the opinion that that's going to happen, right? Because of him, because of it, because of the injury, because of the money, because of his value, because other teams will beat each other up, allegedly. They're all going to want Lamar, right? The Dolphins are going to want him. The Buccaneers are going to want him. The Titans will sniff him. All of the teams last year, Carolina, all the New Orleans, all the teams that sniffed last year, Vegas, they're all and when and as we all know, when they compete, you win, right? So Eric could get a big deal. Lamar could get his money. What does that mean for John? What does that mean for who's going to be quarterback September 10th here?
Let me ask you this, Ness. I mean, I just have a feeling that this organization for the past several years has been okay making the playoffs, right? And that's okay to make the playoffs was one thing, but what about committed to winning a Super Bowl? I think there's a different dynamic and a different mindset if your commitment is to go all in, win a Super Bowl versus being content and just making the playoffs. Is that good enough for Steve Bisciotti? Is that good enough for John Harbaugh? I think that's the biggest question. Are they just comfortable being good enough but not great?
Dennis Galatzos is here. He will be back here on Thursday between 3 and 5 for the Sunday Sports Voice and the Dennis Galatzos Show, rebroadcast on Sunday morning as well. Lots going to move around here in the offseason and watching these other teams win. And I would have felt differently about this had the Ravens lost by 3 touchdowns, as I predicted on Sunday night. There is a sense that they're closer than you think in some ways. And even in talking about the Bengals losing their offensive line, I feel like they were built to win a Super Bowl. And now they're compromised, and injuries will
They are.
compromise you. And for the Ravens to be mostly healthy at the end, they put most of their team on the field Sunday night, but didn't have their quarterback and still almost won. They won a lot of football games. They had double-digit leads the first 11 weeks. This is not a bad football team. But it's a very suspect football team if the quarterback can't get on the field.
Yeah, that's correct. And look, we don't make excuses. No one makes excuses. You look at the San Francisco 49ers. They have Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, third string quarterback, and they're doing some great things. But they also have a lot of great pieces. Christian McCaffrey, they got George Kittle, they got Debo Samuel. They have guys that are great on offense. And I think that's a good blueprint for Eric DaCosta to copy going forward, Nestor. I think he needs to draft those type of players, hope to hit on them for the Ravens to move forward, regardless of who the quarterback is. But no excuses, backup quarterback or not. And that's what I didn't like about John Harbaugh's press conference. It was just, hey, I'm proud of my men. Huntley should have burrowed versus going over the top. And to me, stop making excuses. You lost the game. Everybody says the Ravens were the better team. They were not. The scoreboard says that they were not the better team Sunday night.
Dennis will be back on Thursday, and we will continue this conversation. I do have a feeling on Thursday things are going to change here in the next 70. The information, where Lamar is now that he doesn't have to play next weekend, now that we are into Brian Billick. Oh, we mentioned the great Brian Billick. Brian's ears must be itching. Now we have to give him a call and get him on this week. Time for pay and a time for play, right? This is the time for pay, big time.
Time for pay, or do the Ravens go against the grain once again if they zigzag and they keep that window open for another 5 years or so by going in a different direction? The time will tell, Nestor, but you got to trust your organization. You have a lot of smart people over there, but there does seem to be a certain staleness, a certain comfort level of too much to my liking over there at the castle these days.
Well, you used the word that Luke and I used early on Monday morning, and I built something out of it. I'm probably going to write my columnist piece this week on this. 2019, they had a movement here, right? It was a revolution. And Mark Ingram called it Big Truss, right? And I guess that's how they spell it on the Bayou or, in Alabama or whatever. But the word was trust, right? That was the idea. Big Truss was
Big
big
trust.
trust. Right? That's what it meant. It didn't mean a truss on a truck, right? It meant big trust, right? Trust. And it feels to me like Lamar, John Harbaugh, Ravens organization, and Eric DaCosta, where's the trust right now, right? Like it feels like there's been a trust broken over the last 6 or 7 weeks with this injury. And when Lamar's hearing them on TV saying he's coming back, when there's indications and reports that he's jaking it, or that he doesn't really want to play, or that he's not willing to put a knee brace on, and Michael Vick tells him brace up and play.
Wow.
RG3, who's in his ear, says that's how I wrecked my career. And the fact that they lost the game, and it's Lamar's fault they lost because he couldn't play, right? Like I don't
Oh,
trust
geez.
is difficult, right? For you, for your employees, for family. Like, once the trust is broken, that's why you and I are being jerks and predicting that he's going to play for the Dolphins and be gone, because we feel like there's been a breach of trust here. In that, it feels that way. In that relationship, there's a problem there.
So you hit on it a few weeks ago, Nestor, in one of our segments. You said this is not the same Lamar Jackson, the exuberant, the youthful, the fired up young man we saw a couple of years ago. Now he's becoming more of a veteran, right? More, a grizzled veteran. He's been through some injuries. He's seen some things. He's growing up. He's maturing. He's looking at things very differently as a business person versus a football player. So I think that's part of it. The other part of it you can't ignore, he's missed 12 games the last 2 seasons. And those games have been missed at the most critical part of the season, at the very end, where the best ability is availability. He just hasn't been available, Nestor. And if there's one position you can't afford to not be available, it's a quarterback. And I think that's also the biggest thing beyond trust is his availability. He looked slow before the injury. He had a hamstring thing. He had a hip thing. He had a knee thing, a thigh thing. So all these things factor into whatever's going to happen going forward between him and the Baltimore Ravens.
I think the Baltimore Ravens, when he put that tweet out last month, right? Like, I know for a fact missing OTAs pissed off Harbaugh. That's in my
Of
phone.
course it
That's
did. Why
on
wouldn't it?
record, right? But the situation with the tweet telling fans untoward things that I can't even say on the radio, or I wouldn't want to say on the radio, that it's at times like that. And then he comes back and hides for 5 days. Tells Chad Steele and all those guys out there, I'm not doing that. I'm Lamar. I have different rules. And then he shows up and says his girlfriend was the one to talk to him, told him to take it down after 2 hours. And you're thinking, the level of maturity that you would want in that person, if you're going to
You
turn your
nailed it.
company over to that person, you're going to turn $50 million a year, and everything you do every night is going to revolve around that person. It's sad as humans, but we do judge people in their lowest moments. We do, right? Where's your floor? How low? What's the worst thing you're going to do? And then we can judge you from that. In the case of the Ravens, in the case of Nestor, the human being, saying the only one in your life that thought that was a bad idea was your girlfriend 2 hours later. Like, that's really where you're getting your advice? So who's giving you advice as to whether your knee is good enough to play, or whether you should put a knee brace on? Where are you seeking counsel? You know what I mean? And this is a grown ass man. This is not a boy. This is a guy with $40 million in the bank now, and a guy who you need to rely on. Can I rely on you? Availability, not be. Can you just be honest? Do we have an honest, integrity-based relationships when things are good and bad? I don't think they do. I know I don't have that with the organization, and I thought about this in the middle of the night. I don't trust those people. Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh have lied to me as a reporter many times and have lied about my own integrity and whether I had a press seat Sunday night. So I have my own trust issues with those cats. I can't imagine that once Lamar stopped trusting them, that's why I thought
Well,
about big trusts and trust, and the word trust has come up. I think the trust has been breached out there, and I would be very, very shocked if he ever plays again for the Ravens.
I would be too, but it's very much a business. And for our listeners, everyone knows I'm a big Lamar guy, but he's getting his information and his influence from his girlfriend, from his mother, from the NFL Players Association. That's his circle of influence. And although I'm a big Lamar Jackson guy, I'm a bigger Ravens guy, right? So I trust the organization more than I trust the player. That may not be saying a whole lot at this point, Ness, given the way they behave towards you, but I still trust the organization. That's who I put my faith in more so than the player. Team over player. I've always said that team. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out deep down, if you're breaking this down and there is a lack of trust in information and where they are, that they don't believe he's as hurt as he says he is. Okay. Like, I think deep down they think he could have played, or
Oh, I
that he
think
should have
so too.
tried to
But
play.
look, you've had former players calling him out saying, put a brace on your knee and take this team to the Super Bowl, right? And that's what this is players, which is unusual for former players and current. Sammy Watkins called him out in the Washington Post. When's the last time you've seen a player call out a fellow player on his team like that in public? And Sammy Watkins never retracted his story either.
How about him just not being with the team in the biggest game of the year? Like, that if you're, and they're going to say what we wanted is needed. He was going to play in Kansas City. John's going to try to convince you of that, right? John, like literally, John's going to try to convince you,
He
and
made a
Lamar's going to convince you that if just another week, he would have gone and beaten
no.
Patrick Mahomes, you know?
He made a business decision. That's clear to everybody involved. He made a business decision. He didn't want to sell out his knee. He wanted to protect his career. He made a decision with his brain, not with his heart. And look, I don't necessarily blame him for that. It's just that wasn't his MO. And it all started because they couldn't get him under contract before the season started, Nestor. We knew we would be here. Everybody knew we would be here. He started off like gangbusters and finished injured again for the second year in a row. I, as a fan, as an analyst, I can't ignore the fact that he hasn't been available for the postseason 2 years in a row.
And can you ignore that if you're Stephen Ross and you're going to write him a $250 million check and he's going to sell excitement around South Beach for you,
You
or
can't
to
fix
he?
stupid. You can't fix stupid. If that's what they want to do, that's what they'll do. That's his franchise. Look, there's a lot of dumb GMs and a lot of dumb owners in the league. There really are, which is why Deshaun Watson got that huge guaranteed contract, which I don't think you'll see another guaranteed contract again.
Well,
I
this is what
think
I was going to say. What's Lamar's sin in not playing the last two Januaries for being injured versus Deshaun Watson raping women, sexually abusing women, and they lined up to give him money. They
they lined
lined
up.
up to give number one draft picks. It's going to be interesting to see how they feel about Lamar, because to us, in my mind, there's going to be a long line of teams that will say, we'll make sure he's not injured next December and we'll love him up and we'll pay him.
Right. Well, you know what? That's why we watch sports. That's why we love sports. This thing, who knows how it's going to turn out? But I, like you, though, I don't see him in a Ravens uniform again, going forward. I do think he'll get paid handsomely, not necessarily guaranteed contract, but he'll get paid well, and the Ravens will get a king's ransom in return for trading him, and all will be well in Baltimore once again.
King's ransom.
A king's ransom. Three
Okay.
firsts, 2 seconds. Like you
Everybody
said,
loves
maybe.
Lamar. Let's just see if an owner and a GM and a coach are willing to deal with Lamar. They
They'll
call
love.
John. What's it really like? What's it really like when he gets injured, his girl, and he's tweeting, and the
And you know what?
girlfriend's the only one in his ear, and he doesn't trust you?
John's gonna say he's great. Eric DaCosta is gonna say he's great. The Ravens organizations they've already put it out there that they're gonna negotiate with him in the offseason. Sure they are. What else are they supposed to say? They have to increase his market value. They have to play the game. They have to pretend they're sorry to let him go. But you know what? They couldn't come to the agreement, and this was the best outcome for both parties because you know what? They want volunteers. They don't want hostages, Nestor.
Listen, when the things don't work out for you, Mr. Coons gets rid of you. Mr. Bisciotti is going to need you to replace Chad Steele over there. Okay, so you've got it. You've got this hit. You've got the strategy. It's right. I agree 100% with you. I mean, just so you know.
Look, you don't want to be on our team. Guess what? It's not a problem. You know, we'll get fair compensation with you. Whether your name is Hollywood Brown, Orlando Brown Jr., or Lamar Jackson, you don't
And
want to be
John
here.
will look at you with that twinkle in his eye that he gave Melissa Stark on Sunday night when.
Yes, he will. Big smile on his face, and you know what he's thinking, and it's not what he's saying. There's definitely a contrast between his thoughts and his words, as it should be, though. The coach has to he has to maintain decorum, if you will, particularly on a national stage.
You like that when he was chippy with Melissa Stark, or do you not like that?
I
I
loved
don't like
it.
the premise. I'm a reporter, like by trade. I think it's the dumbest thing in any
It is.
sport,
It's
any time
stupid.
to talk to coaches.
It's
But
stupid. What do you want him to say? Here's the playbook. This is exactly what I'm thinking. Let's just put it all out there. It's
in
dumb.
baseball, the guy hits a home run. They have Rosenthal running down in the dugout now to talk to him. Like I, no. I don't need that. It's like knowing how the tricks are made with magic. They just give me,
Right,
show me the
right,
trick.
right.
It's
Just give
fine.
me the trick, right? Let me see what I'm looking at. But it's going to be a fascinating off-season. It began at midnight Sunday night. And look, it's going to be a lot of talk before actually something happens. But it's going to be explosive. I don't think I think we've seen the last Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore uniform.
It's kind of sad. I mean,
It is sad.
like I think about that, and I think like, what's next? As the fan, I'm like, Are you, you know, you bring in Carson Wentz into quarterback? Like literally, you...
I'm smelling Taylor Heineke's him while the rookie number one draft pick gets his feet under him. That's what I'm predicting.
I want the Minshew guy because he's got interesting facial hair, is what I want. That is Galatzos is has no facial hair right now. You can find him out at Coons Forest Security Boulevard. Tell everybody what's going on because it's a new year. My wife has been like, the weather's been okay. This whole she's on the four-wheel drive thing, and she's really on this. She points out the Broncos as we go by and says, that's a nice color.
There you
But
go. She's picking
at
out a
some
color.
point,
That's
she will come
encouraging
out and
news.
visit you. I swear, I'm not just talking.
I
At
know she
some point,
will.
she's going to replace the vehicle.
Well, we have over 200 vehicles in stock, brand new, most of any dealership on the East Coast. So we have a ton of inventory. Also, 200 plus pre-owned, pre-loved vehicles. The rates are good, 3.9% on most of our models. And business is very good, Nestor. We had a phenomenal weekend. And again, great advertising through WNST, repeat referral customers. That's what it's all about. We stay busy, and it's good business to do business where business is good.
Is that the President's Award that you know that I need to bring up here and talk
Hey,
about, right?
we chase those like
Is that
Super
why you
Bowls
get
and
200
Triple
cars? Because
Crowns.
you have the president. I mean, is that why you
That's
get the most
exactly
amount of
right.
cars?
Exactly. We get rewarded. 3,200 Ford dealers. We're in the top 100 year in and year out in volume. So what happens is the manufacturer rewards you with more inventory. You know, it's the rich get richer because that's what we do. You know, when you pump out volume, and you don't pump out volume by being by having the highest prices either. You get in that volume game and you win the awards because you take care of people.
Well, I would say it's the exact opposite of the NFL, right? You got to suck in the NFL in order to get the volume, right?
No, we do the opposite here.
Just keep winning. All right, man. Well, listen, I'll
That's
see
right.
you on Thursday. Dennis will be here 3 until 5 at AM 1570. As always, getting you ready for divisional. Is it super divisional? I don't know what they call it. So,
I don't
it'll be
know, man.
super around here, even though
It's
we're not
super
involved with the
fun, though.
game.
It's super fun.
Be super fun rooting against the Eagles.
There you
Tell
go.
Brett that, buddy. Tell Brett Dickinson when you see him on Thursday that I'm convinced he's coaching the Giants. And I don't know how he makes time for you. That is a little shout out for Ed Block there. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.